Said it once, I've said it again, you're a brave soul. That song has too many syncopations to me. It is wonderful to know that he's coming anytime.
Amen.
And I appreciate the fact that he didn't tell me. Like I've always said, it's closer than it's ever been before. If you turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, Revelation 21. I've been thinking about the choices that man makes. Why is the world in such a mess? You know, I look into Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and I realize he didn't make it a mess. He made it good. Everything was good. Everything was in order. Everything was right. But man chose to make it a mess. He put choice in our sphere for a purpose, that we might choose him. Interesting. Why would you put a tree in the garden where there's, you don't eat that? I mean, everything else, not that one. You know, love isn't love unless it's a choice. There is no relationship. If you make me do something, I didn't do it because I loved you. But it is that interesting aspect of our choice. Now, obviously, in many things, there are things that we want to do, as Romans chapter 7, that we just can't seem the power, have the power to do it. But it's that choice of the heart. And God is looking for that. God is looking for us to long for him, as it says in Isaiah. And God is looking for us to believe in him, to trust in him. We can't give him anything, but we can trust him. We can give him trust. And we know that that really ultimately can only be fulfilled in the power of the Spirit of God. But God is still looking for that will. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. God is looking for the will. And, you know, I've thought about the choices that man makes and, you know, to trust God or to not trust him, to embrace good or to pursue evil. Man has pursued evil. To do what God says or to do what we want. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've each gone our own way. It just shows that their choice is not to choose, as Deuteronomy would say, not to choose life but to choose death. As you look in Joshua 24, he turns to the people and he goes, choose you this day who you will serve. This is your choice. And God is calling for us to have that heart. And here again, unfortunately, as you look through down through history and you look at our world and the condition that it's in, we've chosen poorly. We've not chosen according to his will. I mean, why is there abortion? Well, because we've chosen selfishness over others. Why is there divorce? Because we've chosen hate over forgiveness. Why have we chosen war? Because we're more greedy than we are giving. And so you begin to realize that the things that we have embraced are the choices that we've made. And the choices that we've made have brought about all kinds of chaos and anger in my life, oftentimes anxiety in our lives is a result of the choices that we've made. We like to blame God and say, you know, why did God do this? But God made everything good. We messed it up. But how wonderful it is to know that God is calling us to come to a place in which he's made all things new. I mean, this place is messed up, but all things can be made new. There's a wonderful passage here in Revelation chapter 21, and it talks about God doing just that. And, you know, this could be the day, right? This could be the day. The way that it reads in verse 1 is, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth passed away. There's no longer any sea. And really, in many respects, what it's defining is tumultuous sea. God has erased the turmoil And how wonderful it is to know that we can have peace with him. As Isaiah says, you know, there is no peace for the wicked. They're like the tossing sea. But with God, there is. And I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for a husband. I heard a loud voice, the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle or the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall dwell." Actually, the word tabernacle again is used, but now translated another way. "Among them, and they shall be his peoples, and God himself shall be among them." That's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, just imagine just sitting in front of God and all of the creative things that we've never heard of, we've never seen before, and it never stops. I think that's one of the things that God has implanted in man, is that he likes seeing new stuff. And God says, come on. It's great. And, wow, what else is going to happen? Verse 4. He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. There should no longer be any death. There should no longer be any mourning. Where did that come from? Choice. You made a choice. And you brought sorrow and death and to our lives. There no longer be any mourning, no crying, nor pain. First things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts the spring of water without cost, and he who overcomes shall inherit these things and will be with his God. And he'll be my son." That's our gospel, isn't it? Come. Hop on. We're going to make everything. You know, I want to ditch this place. It's so chaotic, so mixed up. And, you know, God has us, like with Paul, he has us here for a while to minister to people. And, you know, I've oftentimes thought, you know, had God come when I wanted him to come a number of years ago, then there's certain grandkids I wouldn't have had. And so God knows. But I'm sure looking forward to that. Amen. All things new. Think about that. All things new. It's almost like he's saying, hop on. We're going. And as Jesus will say in John chapter 14, we've prepared a place for you. Amen. Think about it. Actually, a place for me. I don't know if it's going to have my name or my new name, according to Revelation, written above the door, but it's going to, that's your place. And it's not that I have a separate house from God. I'm in the Father's house, Amen. Which is, you know, pretty big. Pretty big place. And there's gardens all the way through it, and water coming from the throne of God. Man, are you homesick? I'm getting homesick. You know, the way that it's put in Revelation 3:20, behold, let me read it the way that it is written. Behold, I stand at the door knocking. It's a present continuous. You know, God made me. Everything I have is his. As Paul will say, in him, we live and breathe and have our existence. Yep. And yet he knocks. I just, it's unfathomable to me. Behold, I stand at the door knocking. If any man hears my voice and will open the door. You know, I can't breathe without him. But every day I do this. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works in the fact that he sovereignly controls my breath, and yet I breathe. But God is looking for us to breathe him in. And the receiving of the Spirit of God and his grace and his mercy, just breathe in. And God changes our lives. And the very thing that we wish for becomes a reality. I can't make it a reality. Only his Spirit can do that. but I can open the door. And how wonderful it is that we have that opportunity to make another choice. As we've ruined this, we can make another choice. And God, and by his power, miraculously saves us. Father, I give you thanks for your grace and mercy to us, your power that literally changes everything. If it had not been that the Lord were on our side, we would have no hope. If it were not for the power of your Spirit, we would have no breath. It is your grace, it is your mercy, it is your power, it is your sovereignty that calls us. And yet, whosoever will may come. We don't fully comprehend it, but we know this. You've given us an opportunity to be with you. We're not missing this one. I give you thanks in Jesus' name.